on the topic of salvation. You know, as pastor, you want to make sure your folks really get it. You know, really get it, really get an understanding of salvation, and you know, not a surfacey one, but the depths of salvation, what it really means to be saved, and what it all entails. Everybody talking about heaven. Going, I'm going to make sure all you folks understand what salvation means. So when you tell someone you saved, and they question you and they ask you, well, what does that mean? You'll be able to tell them like Ruth. Ruth knew what it meant. And she told it. So let's look at Ruth chapter 1. Verses. I'm going to read a lot today, so if your knees are bothering you, your hip replacement surgery is still a little bothering you, just sit there and read along with me. Amen. Amen. Ruth, let's look at verse number 6, and we're going to read 6 through 18. Amen. And we talked about this morning, the CIA messages, context, interpretation, application. And sit down, Pastor. Amen. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Amen. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, King of kings, and the Lord of lords, the God of all gods, we thank you for the declaration of Ruth. Father God, we ask right now, Father God, If our declaration, if our salvation experience does not consist of these things, Father God, empower us this morning. Give us that power, Father God, to embrace the things of God, to declare unto the Lord and to all our friends and families, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I didn't know they were singing that song this morning. Things just happen in God's house. And, you know, maybe Paul and I, you know, like on the same page on that. But Ruth, I just want to talk on the subject of have you left Moab? Have you left Moab? Moab. If you want to, you don't have to. In Genesis 19, God, and we're going to talk about that great prayer of Abraham soon on Wednesday nights. But the angels of the Lord and Jesus Christ himself came to Abraham and told him that he was going to told Abraham that we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God and Abraham prayed. When we start off, if there's 50, then you get all the way down to 5. And the angel stopped him and said, if there's 5, we would spare him. Couldn't find 5. That was too bad. But in Genesis 19 and 17, after Lot's wife had been turned into a pillar of salt for looking back, the daughters, his two daughters, got Lot drunk. They got Lot drunk in Zorah. They couldn't wait. Now I'm almost certain they even said there's no men. That was their excuse. There's no men around so we can keep the family name going. I'm almost certain Abraham wasn't far away. Matter of fact, they say he was in the wilderness left of where Sodom went. He would have definitely came and searched and found Lot and his two daughters, but his two daughters took it upon themselves to get their father drunk. The oldest child had a son, and his name was Moab. And the city of Moab, the country of Moab, has been known for incest and wickedness and the hatred of the Israelites until this day. Ruth was a Moabite. Elimelech, if you read chapter 1 of Ruth, you can read chapter 1, verse number 1, talks about how they ended up in Moab. And I think we went over this in on Sunday morning in Bible study. But it says that it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons made a grave mistake. The word of God, we picked it up in verse number 11, but Elimelech died first. Then his two sons married Moabitess women, and they both died. I don't, the Bible doesn't say how they died, but definitely they were out of God's will, because no Israelite was to marry a Moabite. And now we have three women on a journey back to Judah. And Naomi had lost a husband and two sons. And Orpha had lost her husband. And Ruth had lost her husband. So they're on their way back. And as I was looking at this text and the fact that we left Moab as believers, Moab represents the world. It represents the world, represents all that's in the world. And the world has a way of holding on to us, even though we may say we're Christians. A lot of Christians are still really strapped and tied to the world. So we have to ask ourselves as we look at this lesson, have we left the world? Now some of the things that I've seen, and as I was studying this, is how God will call us. And we have to pay attention. We have to know the call of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, and how God calls us. And many of us, we were not attentive God had to call me many times. I'm not sitting here and pointing a finger at anybody. God had to call me, and he had to start speaking louder and louder. You ever notice the further away you get from a person, the louder they have to call? God used a famine to get to Ruth. And a famine, it means a crisis. It means a loss. A famine means deprivation. You've been through something. You're dealing with something. You're going through something. It could mean starvation. Okay, in America, you know, thanks to the welfare system, we don't have to worry about anybody being starved to the point where they receive Jesus Christ. The government has taken care of that. But we can be without, and God may call us in that situation. He could use a family. He used Naomi. Took Naomi's husband. How many of us in here have lost loved ones? Amen. Ruth obviously watched how Naomi dealt with the loss of her husband. Wouldn't have probably been long that Naomi or Ruth would have been dealing with her own loss of her husband. Many of us in here that have lost parents and loved ones, we can really do some ministry in that area and help someone else who may be struggling with loss. Naomi most likely guided Ruth through the loss of her husband and Orpha. So we see famine, we see family, we see deaths and funerals. And many of you know, I've told my testimony that God reached out to me and called me at a funeral. I didn't know the man who had passed away, but it was a good friend of mine, his father. He just went into the hospital, had cataract surgery, and died while he was under. And I felt compelled to go, as we always do. Well, you know, I worked right next to him. He was really good friends of mine. Let me go to his funeral. I didn't know his father. I didn't know his father was a man of God that loved the Lord and was faithful to the church and to his wife and to his family. And when all that hit me at a time where I wasn't being that type of man, the preacher had to, my mother used to use the word audacity to stick his finger out and say, "What kind of man are you?" And at that time, it looked like I was the only person there. You can go to church at 4. Life has never been the same. I take funerals serious. It's a great opportunity to reach people when at funerals. So we see that Mahlon and Chilion had died. Both that was the husbands of Ruth and Orpha. But then we see another thing, fear. Fear, it's a fearful thing. Fear can force you to make a good decision or a bad decision. And we have to be careful of our fears and what we are afraid of. Because some of us are afraid to make a decision. And a lot of our gangs and different things like that, a lot of our rebellious youth are in that way because they're afraid to make a decision. They want someone else to make the decision for them. And a lot of times we have to make our own decision. We have to be our own man, our own woman. Hard for the lost person to do that. Because we're always looking for a handout, someone to guide us. Well, we have a guide in light, and it doesn't come on during the daytime hours. We have a guide in light. We can go to God's Word, and He can guide us through any circumstance, any situation you can be in. Naomi gave him the business. I like that because I preached a sermon on giving, counting the cost. A lot of us are so happy. We want to fill the church. We want to fill the church. We want to fill the church. And as I was doing my chapel orientation, we want these children to come out. We want these young people to come out. We want them to come out. You know, and we can do so much to try to get them there that when they get there, we don't have nothing else. We can just give them a candy. I heard a country preacher say, if you want to fill the church, you just put a Budweiser truck out front and some dancing girls and folks will come. You'll have a full church. I believe that. Then God used a famine to call Ruth. He used family. He used death. He used her fears. Naomi put her on the spot. Naomi said unto his two daughters, "Go, return each to her mother's house." Now, both of these women, historians say they were princes. They were daughters of the kings. So they weren't used to going without. So this decision is a little more than what we may think. Well, Ruth could have went back and lived like a prince. Princes don't starve in the wilderness. Princes don't want for anything. Orpah didn't hesitate. And God used the fields. And when I say the fields, God, we have seen in the text where Ruth had heard that God had returned to the land of Bethlehem and brought bread. A lot of times God can use the time of blessings to call us to. So we see famine, we see family, we see death, we see fears, we see a time of blessing. I think about it. I got the news this morning, and Jake and Jackie, and we love them to death, and I'm blessed by that. And I hear Jake, and I know Jackie would do the same thing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm almost certain. Thank you, Lord, blessing us. He's still a God of many blessings. So let's look at these two women, and I want to ask the question, and I want it to be on the back of my mind. Have we left Moab? Have we left Moab? Orpah, the Bible says she kissed Ruth, and she was off to the races. She couldn't wait to get back to Moab. She returned to her relatives. You know, relatives often are tools that I almost hate to say that the enemy used, but relatives can keep you away from receiving the Lord, because we have to first deal with our relatives. And we go to our relatives and say, you know what, I received Jesus today. I am saved today. And the first people we have to come into contact is our relatives. Are you serious? She returned not only to her relatives, but she returned to her religion. And unsaved folk, when I say religion, it's just the things that we like to do, you know. Alcohol is called a spirit. You know, back in the old day, you know, you used spirits. That used to be outside the bar, spirits. Okay? And a lot of folks' religion is partying, and drinking, and frolicking. That's an old one. You know, I be listening to my old Puritan preachers. They say stuff like that, and I get it in me. Frolicking. And she returned to her religion. Even though she had seen the hand of God, And Naomi, Naomi means delightful. Naomi most likely was still a strong and honored and reverent woman of God. Even though she lost her husband and her two sons, she still never let go. She never let go of her faith. And it showed up. And you know what? Your faith will show up in times of adversity. It will show up. If it don't show up then, it probably will never show up.
Amen.
So she returned to her relatives, which most likely was a hindrance. You know, you should be marrying them Israelite boys. You a Moabite. And there's some truth to that, because the Moabites hated the Israelites. Most likely, historians say that they were killed. They didn't die, they were killed. Most likely, maybe by a Moabite. She returned to her religion. She returned to her reality. She would have never been happy in Israel. And many of us, I hear people say, everybody going to heaven. And there's just no way an unsaved person would ever be happy in heaven. And if you haven't enjoyed your church experience, singing and praising the Lord, how in God's world would you ever enjoy being in heaven? Where that's all we're going to do. If you don't enjoy Bible study and reading and devotions and being around other godly Christians and people of God, how would you ever enjoy being in heaven? And this is the reality that Orpah faced. I would never be happy in Israel. All they want to do is praise and worship the Lord and be in church all the time, eating all the time, and reading the Bible and praying. Enough of that. Orpah is a picture of a mere professor of religion, the carnal Christian, the average church folk of today. And she walked away from the light, and the Bible never mentions Orpah again, even though historians bring her up. I think about Psalms 9 and 17. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's a good one. All the nations that forget God. You know, America is Moab. America is evil and wicked. It's the Moab. It's the Moab of the 21st century. When I talk about family members, and I thought about this, and I was talking about Braden, and I was thinking about him, and I watch the young people, especially the ones that aren't able to take communion, because the Word of God said you ought to be saved. You ought to know Jesus Christ, your Lord, and saved, and then you ought to be baptized before you take communion. And I watch Braden as the communion plate go around, and he's questioning himself. Why not taking communion? I do everything my family do. I love everything they love. I'm in church every time they're in church. Why am I not taking communion? What's the problem? Because taking communion, really, the taking of communion is almost, to a child, could be a visible demonstration of these folks that take communion are going to heaven, and ones that's not, going to hell. I was thinking about that, and I know I can get carried away with my thoughts, but I'm sitting there like, I'm watching them. Now, some folks don't take communion, they don't care. They don't want to be baptized, they don't want to have nothing to do with the church. And they can care less. Okay? Because in most of them, I don't even want to be in heaven if these folks going to be there. Okay? I'm only here because I was dragged here. So when I think about it, I say, And Minister Brian was talking to me about it. He wanted to be baptized. We're going to baptize him. And I thought about it. And I think about stuff. You guys tell me stuff. You may not think I think about it, but I do. I think about it. I'm going to baptize him. I'm going to get baptized with him. How about that? Think about this. Think about family members in this sense. And they love to cheer us on. They love to. You know what? You know, God's been good to you. You're good auntie. You're a good grandma. You're a good, you know. And they love us for all the benefits. They love us for all the benefits they get from us because we are people of God. They love it. They love it. They love us. And I remember, and I went to that church for a little while longer, and that pastor said this. And he said some profound things. But he said this. And he was talking about all the fathers. He stayed on fathers. He says, let me tell you something. How can you tell your child you love them and hate the mother who means everything to the child? I'm sitting here like, that's interesting. Because I've heard it. I hear it on my workplace. I can't stand my baby mama. I can't stand my baby mama. But I love my little baby. What's the... That don't add up to me. Amen. You can't tell me you love the little baby but hate the most important person in that child's life. Amen. This is what our loved ones do with us. You know, they love the pies. They love, you babysit for me. Oh, you're so wonderful. You babysit for me. They, you know, college loans. Well, I love, you know, pay the college loan. Oh, you bought me a car. Oh, you got some new Nikes on. New prom dress. And, you know, you bond me out when I was in jail. And you got me a lawyer. I got a roof over my head. Oh, wonderful baby shower you gave me. Oh, you are so nice that you took off and was with me when I had the surgery. They love us for all they can get. They love us for all they can get, but they don't want to have nothing to do with the God who has provided all that to us. They don't want to have nothing to do with the person who has made all this possible. Let me tell you something. I'm a piece of work with the Lord. Okay, my family will sit here and say, he is a piece of work. And that would be nice if they said it like that. I'm a piece of work. I'm a handful with the Holy Ghost. I gotta watch Dane here, man.
You understand what I'm saying? And I mean, he loves all that we do. Oh, Rita, thanks for babysitting. See you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for the pies, Auntie Claire. Thanks for the roof over my head, Auntie Ann. But they don't want to have nothing to do with our God. Oh, they don't want nothing to do with our God. They like the perks. You know, where are we going? Pizza Hut, Little Caesars, or Bellaria? See, we love the Lord, but we surrounded by Moabites. We surrounded by folks. They come over and they enjoy our company. They enjoy our everything. Well, I'm going back to Moab. I'm going back to Moab and worship my God. Little G. See you next time I need you. Moabites. Ruth wasn't going back to Moabite. She wasn't going back to Moab. Ruth said, listen, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. We sing a song, I won't go back. I won't go back. I'll never go back. And you know, that's not sporadic. Okay? See, when Ruth heard the message, when Naomi gave Ruth the business, there was no choir singing, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. There wasn't no choir. There wasn't nobody pounding on the drums and Sylvia wasn't hitting the tambourine. The preacher wasn't sweating with a handkerchief and begging, come to Jesus. Listen, they was in the wilderness. And Ruth just stopped. They probably had to stop. It was about a 30-mile trip from Moab to Judah. And Ruth probably just stopped and something wasn't right. Jesus had to do sort of the same thing in John 6. He had all these folks following and said, something ain't right. And he turned to them and said, you know, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you a whole lot if you're going to follow me. And you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. I got to be important to you. I got to maintain you. And they said, gee, that's a hard saying. Uh-huh. And the Bible said, and they followed him no more. They turned and went back. Uh-huh. And like Orpha kissed her and went back. Ruth never said, oh, just don't leave. Gone. Uh-huh. Gone with your bad self. Gone back. See, we're not in the begging business. Okay? My job ain't to beg you to get saved. My job is to preach the word to you. And if the word save you, if the word don't save you, I can't save you. Listen, Ruth made six. I got seven. Six declarations that every blood-bought believer must make. They're not going to get around this. See, I have a responsibility as your pastor to make sure you know. You know, just like you train somebody for a job, you got to train. Listen, when they do your evaluation, you won't be able to tell them, he didn't teach us that. He didn't say we had to lock all the doors. He didn't say we couldn't do that on the computer. You're going to know everything. She says this. Let me read all this Bible, because the Bible is just so beautiful. Verse 15, Ruth 1:15. Look at that. And she said, behold, she's not talking to Ruth. Thy sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. I like that. See, I like that. Because, you know, Ruth ain't sitting here saying, look, that's going to be wonderful. You come to Bethlehem, you know, we got bread everywhere. We're going to be eating Subway sandwiches. And it's going to be wonderful. She said, you know what he said? She said, look, you are a Moabite woman. Your husband is dead. Israelites ain't trying to even mess with no woman that's been with or a Moabite. It's going to be rough, Ruth. It's going to be rough. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. Don't let nobody tell you this Christian walk is simple and easy. You young folks going through, it's going to be rough. It was rough for us coming up in the 60s and 70s and 80s. In the 90s, how about y'all? Some of y'all, well, I forgot about Deacon Oliver. 40s and 50s. And we thought it was rough then. It's rough now. And you're going to go through. And many of you, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to go through without the Lord. Let me know how that works out for you. Let me know how that works out for you. But Ruth in verse number 16, Ruth said, listen, stop. Okay? Stop, mother-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. What is she talking about? She said, listen, you see total surrender. Ruth said, listen, I have decided. This is not haphazard. This is not something sporadic. This ain't because the preacher sang good or preached good or the band or the choir sang good. You know, this is because I have counted the cost. I have an understanding of what it means to be a woman of God, a child of God, or a Christian. And I accept those terms. I accept those terms. Where thy go, I will go. Her surrender was so complete, that she desired to walk in the very footsteps of another. Paul, I don't have a problem. Y'all know I love Paul. I can preach to Paul forever. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And what Ruth was basically saying to Naomi, as long as you follow Christ, I'm going to follow Christ. And she's going to go even further than that. Listen. Ruth left the land of the curse for the land of the covenant.
All right.
Ruth signed a contract. And we talk about these are really marriage vows. See? But what's happening in America and what's happening in the church, we got too many Moabite weddings. So we get too many Moabite weddings and we just say the words. See, the Bible said Ruth clave to Naomi. See, we don't really mean anything by it, but if Evelina come here and Roy ain't with her, we don't mean anything by it. But we just say, Evelina, where Roy at? Because that's your husband. Okay? If Dave is here and Lori's not here, Dave, where Lori at? It's just the nature of the business we in. Okay? And we get used to that. Because see, these are marital. This is a marriage. This is a contract here that's really based on marriage. You get saved, you fall into a marriage contract with the Lord. Oh man, that's, I don't know about got in it for that. No, she didn't stop there. She didn't stop there. Look at her boldness, and I don't talk about boldness. I think about this. These are terms that I just love. When you start talking about commitment and boldness and courage, I just like that because it takes courage to be a man or a woman of God. Some of y'all think it takes courage to be a blood, a Crip, or a Heartless fella, or a Latin King, or whatever. You don't take no courage to be that. It takes courage not to be a thug. Anybody can be a thug, all you got to do is be stupid. I'm a thug. Pull my pants down, you know, and you know, sagging and cussing and disrespect. I mean, you know, disrespect. That doesn't take much. You want to show me you're tough? Be a man of God.
Amen.
Be a woman of God. And then tell a thug, I'm a woman of God.
Yeah.
So we need to save some of these thugs. We need to get to them. We need to reach some of them. Listen, hear what Ruth said. Listen. Not only will where you go, I will go. She said, where you lodge, I will lodge. She said, where lodge? I mean, where you stay? If it get a little dicey, we can't stay there. When you move, I'm moving. Uh-huh. See, and a lot of times we don't like to say, God will move us around. God will move the man or woman of God around. Ask Moses. My God called Moses and said, listen, Moses, you need to leave and leave now. Your father's house. What did Moses do? Or Abraham, excuse me. What did he do? He left. He left. Listen. Talk about separation. You talk about courage to walk away. Then she says this. This is a good one here. She said, thy people. She said, thy people will be my people. There's a lot to that. We struggle with this. I know we do. Because some of us brought up in different stuff and we still, they having a little party for little Jimmy. I need to go. You know, and they're having this over here and I need to go, I need to be there. You know, you don't, there's a separation. See, that people will be my people. See, separation is painful. It's painful. But you know what? I thought about this and we talked this. I'm looking at Matthew 12. It's talking about Jesus. He was talking to the people. He was preaching. And while the Bible says in Matthew 12:46, he said, and while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood without, desiring to speak to him. They standing outside. He preaching. And then one said unto him, behold, thy mother, thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with you. They want to stop him from preaching. And see, this is what I mean by family and not want to separate. You know, Christian, you don't need to, don't take all that. You don't need to go to church all the time and be around them kind of folks. You know, we having fun. We having a party. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? And who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brother, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Who's your mother? Amen. Who's your brother? Who's your sisters? Okay? I'm your brother. If you love the Lord and I love the Lord, I'm your brother. And if you don't love the Lord, it don't matter if you blood. You know, we come up blood thicker than mud. No, it ain't.
Amen.
Oh, no. And I know that's hard. Could we do anything for a family member? We'd give our kidney for a family member. We'd give our liver, if we could, to a family member that we loved and drank theirs away and never cared about the things of God at all. And we'd still die for them. That's dicey stuff. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Let me tell you something. The salvation could be the best thing that could ever happen to some of us. Because it'll do the separating. Some folks, we just don't have the strength to let go. Some folks, we don't have the strength to kick to the curb. But all we have to do, we talked about this morning, our own personal salvation, our own personal sanctification program, the more we walk with the Lord, the more the world will just leave us alone. Them unsaved family members that's calling you all the time for $20 and $50 and, you know, they'll leave you alone. Get some money in your pocket. Get saved. Saved folk got money. Why David said, listen, I've been young and I'm old, but I ain't never seen a broke Christian. It ain't like that. Okay, listen, separation. She said, thy people will be my people. Check your surroundings. You know, do a self-examination. All you gotta do, if you want to find out if you're truly walking with the Lord, see who you're walking with. Scroll down your phone, your text, and see who you've been texting. Them saved folks. Amen. Them saved folks. Them conversations about the Lord, about Jesus, about walking in holiness and personal sanctification. How was church today? What's your preacher preach on? Anybody texting that? I'm just getting out of church. Let's get together and talk about what the preacher preached on today. Check yourself. Check yourself. Check your tax. We got record keeping. Okay? Go through your history. It'll tell you all about who you are. What sites you've been on.
Amen.
See, the money preachers say check your checkbook and see where you write checks to. Check your history. See where you've been in the last 30 days. See what you've been watching. See what gets your attention. And then you can make a determination if you got the kind of faith that gets you in heaven. Ruth had it. She was able to separate. One evening. And then he starts seeing her amped up a little bit. She wasn't satisfied because she could have stopped there. And Naomi could have said, you know, that's enough. No, Ruth said, no. I want to make it plain. I want to make it clear. Look at the fourth thing she said. She said, thy God will be my God. Thy God will be my God. I'm done with it. I'm done serving the God of lust. I'm done serving the God of greed and the God of anger and the God of adultery and fornication and homosexuality and lesbian. Thy God, thy holy God shall be my God. I'm done with it. Got this. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, in what agreement have the temple of God with idols? Yeah. Hey, what Ruth was that? For ye are the temple of the living God. When you get saved, God dwells in you. You have the Holy Spirit abiding in you. He said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. My people. Here's Ruth. Paul learning from Ruth says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. Many of us in trouble spiritually because we don't have no spiritual father. We don't want to have nothing to do with him. We got an earthly father. Many of us. But we don't have a Holy Spirit Father. Guide us and direct us spiritually. And I will be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Listen, I don't want a father. I don't want no Almighty God. Keep your Almighty God. That's see, we got Orphas. What the name is. Got a lot of Moabites in God's house. I remember teaching through 1 Thessalonians, and Paul said the word of God didn't come to you in word only, but power. Power. Verse 1:9 says this, for they themselves showed us what manner of end we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God. There's a turning. Ruth is sitting here saying, there has been a change in me. I'm no longer what I used to be. I'm determined to show and to prove it. Oh man, put this in your marriage vows. I can't wait to marry somebody. Put this in there. This is interesting. Decision time. This is not a couple years. This is not, you know, you get the NFL draft coming up, You know, they sign these guys 3 years. No. This is a lifetime decision. So don't sit here and tell me, well, you know, I got saved and, you know, I got baptized when I was 8 years old. But since then, I've been living like an absolute fool. Rotten to the core, Dennis the Menace. You know, I mean, I was Dennis the Menace. No, Braden. Billy Graham, they say he has stayed at 5 and baptized. So, you know, we going to work with you, little Braden. We baptize you. Okay? I'm going to talk to his parents and his grandparents and his little sisters and aunties and whatever, whoever you guys are to him. We're going to work with him. Okay? An opportunity. 6-7 years old. And can serve God all his life. Isn't that something? And give you a whole life. See, some of us, you know, we have half Christians. And we come to the Lord at half our life. We didn't drink it away, sex it away, and done all kind of crazy stuff. We come to the Lord, I got maybe 20 left to give you. I can't hardly move anymore, but I'm going to give you what I got left. I didn't dance so long on the dance floor, my knees is bad. Everybody quiet on that. I know. Wow, wow, wow. That's my song. Let's go. Now, listen. I know Dave Jacobs said stop it, you know. No, seriously. Ruth was making a lifetime decision. And I don't want to sit here and play with y'all. That's why I don't, it don't even matter. We don't ever put them chairs out, because I got to tell y'all about that. Them ain't magic chairs. You ain't sitting in them chairs and something coming up out of them chairs and maybe the spirit of whoever. No, you ain't saved when you sit down, you ain't going to be saved when you get up. Okay? And joining the church ain't getting you in the gates of heaven. Okay? Hell going to be full of church folk. Okay? And a lot of them going to have on robes and collars and stuff. Okay? So, listen. He see, when she says, where thou diest, I will die. What is she saying? She said, this is a lifetime commitment. This is a lifetime decision. It cannot or will not be reversed. Now put this in your marriage vows. Because this is a marriage contract. You don't want to go through. You're going to have you a couple bad years. But you know what? Gail Sayers had 3 or 4 knee surgery, was set out for many years in place, still in the Hall of Fame. So you can have a bad year or two in marriage and still get into the Hall of Fame. So don't think it's got it. Don't give up. And don't quit. Listen. Listen. She now said, well, thou go. When thou dies, I will die. She said this. I thought this was fantastic. Y'all think that's my favorite word today. Watch this. 16, she says. And where there will I be buried? Excuse me. I got to go to the Bible. My notes ain't doing it any justice. Verse 17, all in one. And where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. Wait a minute. What is she talking about, where I be buried? Rufus said, listen, not only don't I ever want to go back into Moab, I don't even want to go there to be buried. Don't even send my bones there. Amen. Don't even send my bones there. Listen, folks. We have church folks, church buses that take their people into Moab. Uh-huh. They go into Moab and they take vacations and cruises into Moab. And they party with the Moabites. I hear people tell, Pastor, you and Miss Cindy need to go to Moab. See, I hear different than what y'all say. Y'all need to go to Moab, spice up y'all marriage. Let the Moabs give you a foot massage or something. Let the Moabites. Listen, I work with Moabites. I work out at Planet Moabite. Ruth's declaration of faith is so strong that she has boldly said, I don't even want my dead bones to go back into Moab. Listen, when it gets that strong, I'm telling you, Ruth had it going on. Amen. It was strong. It was strong. Listen, she said, when she said, I want to be buried with you, Naomi, well, know what she's talking about? She's talking about this one. Are you buried? She's talking resurrection language here. She's talking resurrection. She said, listen, were you married? I want to be married. You're not talking. She's not, you know, and you know, Cindy, I know Cindy. Cindy got a double headstone. And she hoping my name go on it first. She want to be. No, wrong with that. We'll talk about that later. But that's not what she's talking about, Cindy. She's not talking about a dual plot where we just in the ground together. Because a whole lot of folks, you go to the cemetery and, you know, and they just in the ground together. They ain't been risen. Okay? What Rufus said, listen, Naomi, you know, I love the Lord like you. And when you get risen, I'm going to be risen. We both get risen. We both going to be resurrected. That's what she's talking about. See, the Bible talk about there was a rich man named Lazarus and a beggar. And it said when the rich man died, the Bible said in hell, he lifted up his eyes. But when the poor man died, the Bible said the holy angels came and got him and put him in the bosom of Abraham. Listen, folks, hell is real as I'm standing here. Oh, listen, last thing. I know. Ruth, love you, Ruth. She said that wasn't enough, Naomi. She's trying to convince Naomi. She's trying to convince Naomi. Because Naomi, to her, represented God.
And she said, listen, not only where thou diest, I will die. And where thou will be buried, I will be buried. She said, the Lord. Now put this in your wedding vows. Some of you wedding planners in here, make sure these people understand this when they get married. When we get ready to marry Caitlin and I forget the other girl's name. When we get ready to marry them off, even if those, if they marry in a total reject, okay. Now rejects is looking for smart girls, okay. All right, because you know, hey, rejects looking for smart girls, and they're like, I got two of my church, they smart, they gonna be something, we gonna get on to them quick. They take care of us because we don't want to do nothing. Okay? So, even though you marry a reject, Dana, I'm going to hold you to it. You're going to commit to that reject all your life.
Amen.
You're not getting out of it. I'm not. I'm going to hold you to it. Stay with them. Better for worse, richer for poor.
Amen.
You need some tips? Ask Cindy. Ask so many women in here that's been married. Ask Evelina and Cindy and Sharon. You got a whole lot of folks. Been married a long time to us. How? Miss Cindy, how have you been married to him for 31 years, girl? It ain't been easy, but I got a covenant. You know, I got a contract. I can't get out of it. And the sad thing, he work out all the time. He might live a long time. Amen. Lord, forgive me. Look what he said. Look at this last part. If aught but death part thee and me. If aught but death part thee and me. What a commitment. Do you see the commitment of Ruth? I mean, you know, Ruth is God's woman for the hour. She's an example to us. She's an example. She's a pattern. She's our idea. We say we're saved. Now, next time you say, well, I'm saved. Think about Ruth. Think about Ruth and think about these six declarations that she made. She was serious about it. And church, we need to get really serious about it. Listen. And not only that, she was a woman of her word. And that's the part, you know, we can say, everybody say, well, how did it all turn out? Listen, the word of God is so wonderful. It is so complete that it shows us how it turned out. And it's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. Turn to Ruth chapter 1 and look at verse 4 and 13. Look at 4 and 13. Now, please go with me if you have your Bible open, because this is fantastic, and we have these examples, and we're gonna be better in 2013. Look at verse 13 of Ruth chapter 4, and here's how this worked out. Ruth was serious. She backed it up, and she completed what she said. Look at verse 13. It says, so Boaz, and we don't know all the story, and you study the word of God, you know Boaz was her kinsman redeemer. So Boaz wasn't even mentioned in chapter 1. So it wasn't like Ruth was going to Judah to meet Boaz. And then I hear some of these prophets today. Well, you're going to meet the man of your dream when you get saved. You're going to meet the man of your dream. Some of y'all ain't never going to meet the man of your dream. Okay? Okay, so some of y'all, you know, the preacher's going to be the man of your dreams. I'm going to be the closest thing to you. I'm going to love you more than anybody. Okay, so I'm the man of your dreams. I just love my pastor. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You all love me. Okay, amen. Thanks, Claire. I know Claire loves me. Claire loved me. Okay, listen. Look at verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. Understand that strong language. His wife. You better believe she. He heard it and see the testimony of Ruth's life. He went in unto her, and the Lord. Let me tell you something. And the Lord, you can go to all these
doctors and take all these fertility pills and all that stuff and have a whole litter of kids. Okay? Listen. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception.
Amen.
And she bare a son. You pro-choices don't want to hear that. Look at verse 14. And the women said unto Naomi, you know what? Naomi came into the town. They said, listen, Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, because Naomi means delightful. Call me Mara. Bitter. You know what? Nobody ever called Naomi bitter in the whole book of Ruth. It says, and the women said unto Naomi, delightful. Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life. Let me tell you something. God is still in the restoration business.
Amen.
And Ruth went through it. Naomi went through it. And God still was able to restore the joy that she had lost. Listen, David said, listen, weeping may endure for a night. And I'm pretty sure Ruth and Naomi did a whole lot of weeping. But joy cometh in the morning. Because God is a restorer of the joy. Listen, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, Ruth, here's Ruth. Think about that commitment. Think about the determination. Think about the courage. Think about her decision. That daughter, Ruth, which loveth thee. Don't miss that. Which loveth thee. Ruth loved Naomi. Let me tell y'all something. Don't y'all let T.D. Jakes fool you. Don't let T.D. Jakes' lust-filled heart fool you. And when he teaches that Naomi and Ruth were lesbians, listen, Naomi and Ruth were not.
Amen.
How dare anyone even suggest that they had a lesbian love? Now, love, a lot of these men in this church, don't nobody accuse me of being a homosexual because I have love for Dave and Jake and Elmer. And listen, and Naomi, wait a minute, I got to start back. I got sidetracked. That burns me. She says, for this daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons have borne him. And Naomi, this is a blessing for Naomi. This is a blessing for Naomi. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women and her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. How about that? How about that? God went to Moab and got Ruth and placed her in the generations of Jesus. Why? Now these are the generations of Pharez, and Pharez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon, Rahab, and Solomon begot Boaz. Solomon was Rahab and Boaz. Rahab was Boaz's grandmother. And Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. What a story. What a story. What a story. Now, somebody want to ask a question. What happened to Orpha? Orpha went back. Orpha was married to a king. This is what historians say. I can't find this in the Bible, so I'm just going to tell you what historians say. Say the Jewish rabbis tell us that Agatha, that's the real name of Orpha, was Harapha. She did find a husband. Again, the result of shrewd political allegiance between Eglon, king of Moab, and the Philistine king of Gath. Pay attention. In those days, there were still giants living in Moab. But most of them had moved to the coastal plain. Orpha became the wife of one of these giants. Guess what the giant's name was? Eminem. I'm serious. I'm reading this. I'm like, Eminem? That's like the rapper. Then, yeah. But that's not the rapper's real name because I have to do some research. I'll be digging. And Eminem, the rapper, real name is Marshall Bruce Mathers III. And he wanted to be a giant. So he gave him, you know, how these thugs give themselves. And I'm a giant, 5'4". Eminem. Because that's the name of a giant. So Eminem the rapper got a fake name, Eminem, which means a giant. She bore him 4 big boys. Orpha. Their names was, I need you up here, Claire. It's Benadab, Sap, Laham, and Goliath. Orpha was Goliath's mother. And when her boys were full of age and mature fighters, Goliath challenged the army of Israel. And guess who killed Goliath? Ruth, and was killed by young David. His grandmother, Princess Ruth, was sister to Harah, or Orpha. Ain't that something? How life's cross. Listen, don't miss it though. Don't miss it. Ruth is a great story of commitment, of salvation, of faithfulness to the things of God. And we don't want to miss it. God bless you. God keep you. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, we thank you for Ruth. And we thank you for her 6 declarations of faith and of courage and determination, of just the desire to want to be pleasing to you. She could have just made one statement and would have been good enough for you. But Ruth and her delight to please you and to let the whole world know that she was truly a woman of God gave us 6 declarations. Father God, give us a declaration today. Give us the power to live for you. Give us the power to stand